give me the liberty. Just give me about 10 minutes. I'd appreciate it. Just kind of wind this down. It's an amazing thing. Preacher preached on Noah this morning, and that's one of the passages that Brother Pittman hammered on this week was Noah and how that Noah had a perfect heart. And he kept saying, and this is my testimony now, he kept saying throughout that particular service, he kept saying, preachers just don't live like that anymore. He kept saying, teens just don't live like that anymore. He'd say, people just don't live like that anymore. And he was talking about just being godly and just being holy and being used of God. And then he made reference to several men in the Bible who really messed up. He just wanted to let us know that they were human. They were human, but yet they were godly. And they kept short accounts with God, short sin accounts with God. When they messed up, they got it right immediately. And that's why God said David was a man after his own heart. Why? Because he was a great repenter. That's why. And boy, God really spoke to my heart. You know, Brother Pittman kept saying men don't live like that. He didn't say men can't live like that. He said they don't. And he's right. He's right. And boy, I tell you what, that night God sure got a hold of my heart, and I decided, determined, I was going to go home and clean house. And I want to be the best Christian that my youth group knows. And I hope that you're saying, no, preacher, they're going to be the best Christian I know. And I just want to be that. It surpassed every imagination that I had about the camp. I didn't really know what to expect. You guys kept saying, oh, it's a great camp, it's a great camp. I heard more about the food than anything. Food was awesome. It was. Their organization in the mess hall is amazing. But yeah, they just kept giving you food till they ran out. And I mean, sometimes they didn't always run out. We had to say, no. Great food. But great, great, great spiritual food. Absolutely amazing. In fact, before I actually get out, just one more thing. Pastor said this morning when we were in the office, he said, it doesn't matter who preaches there, God's hand is on that place. And I can absolutely attest to that, because I will say this, the missionaries who were there, y'all know him, we support him, Brother Midori, Brother and Mrs. Midori. Now, they were there, and he was an instructor in the military. And when he presents, when he teaches, it's obvious he is an instructor. He's very, not the most dynamic speaker there. Not necessarily one I would have chosen for a group of teens. And missions was not emphasized at all. And yet, how many people on testimony night stood up and said, God called me to missions. 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 I was amazed. And that's been my buzzword for the last 2 days, and it'll probably be for the next week. I'm amazed at what God has done there. I want to tell you something about Logan. Well, it's part of this, but I'll just throw it in here right now. The last night, he's a holdout. Friday night, testimony night. Throughout the week, they've been telling us counselors, they would say, now you guys need to work with your teens. Well, it wasn't that hard, because each night one or two would get up and I could manage it. But on Friday night, when they had the invitation, after the testimony time, then Brother Pittman got up and he gave a final message. And he gave another invitation, and all my teens came down. And I'm like, where do I start? And so I just stood there and I said, well, I'll just let them deal with God. And then Brother Carter got up and he said, youth directors, you need to get with your teens and figure out what they're down here for. And I was still like, well, who do I start with? I don't know where to go. And so I really did, just randomly. I said, well, I'll just pray with Logan. I really, it was totally random on my part. But God was directing that, because I went over there and amen. I said, Logan, what are you down here for? I said, I just want to pray. I said, about what? I don't remember what I said. But anyway, I said, are you saved? And he said, when did you get saved? That's what it was. He said, I can't remember. So anyway, it was on my part, it was totally random, but it wasn't random on God's part. It wasn't at all. And Logan got saved. We serve an amazing God. That was an amazing camp. Best one I've ever been to. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're going to keep going. Amen. Hope I have a helper to drive next year. We've got a bunch of amazing teenagers. It was amazing preaching. We had amazing altar calls. Amazing testimonies. And I do not want to be the kind of skeptic parent or youth pastor who says, yeah, well, time will tell. We'll see. Time will tell whether it's real or not. You know, that's so negative and so skeptical. The fact of the matter is, what I saw and what I heard and what I experienced at Silver State was very real. These decisions were not solicited. We didn't have high-pressure preachers up there saying, okay, stand up, look at me. If you just prayed, raise your hand. Look at me, look in the eyeball, raise your hand, come on down. It wasn't none of that. It was all Holy Spirit convicted, Holy Spirit led. These kids went to the altars on their own. It was very real. Real men of God. Real messages. Real youth leaders who were really concerned about their teenagers. Real prayer meetings among the counselors. Real devotions in the dorms each night. Real Holy Ghost conviction. And I believe real decisions. And I am convinced, as sure as we serve a real God, we also deal with a real devil. The reality of coming back home from camp is that the devil, your adversary, like a roaring lion, that liar, that thief, that murderer, the destroyer of homes and marriages and lives, he's been waiting for you to come down off of that mountain so that he can either try to convince you that it wasn't real or try to trip you up now in your desire to try to live out your new convictions. The teens, I want you to listen to me. I know exactly what's fixing to happen. The devil's going to try to take it all away. Just like some of you got up here, Reed got up here and said, I want it to go beyond camp. I want it to go beyond camp. I don't want it to last just a week. I don't want it to last just 2 or 3 days. These are real decisions that were made under real preaching by real Holy Ghost conviction. I really believe that. But there's a real devil that's going to try to trip you up and keep you from living it. And so the question now is, how do I stay for the long haul? How do I keep it? In Genesis, let me just read over to Jay. You stay in Hebrews. In Genesis chapter 6, we were there this morning, but in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says about Noah, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Did you hear that? The wickedness of man was great, every imagination, every person. And so let me just say, first of all, we know that Noah stayed 100 years building that ark in the face of a wicked, wicked world. Now, the positive thing on our end about this is that we're not alone like he was. And so if you want to keep this, then I say, first of all, this is kind of a pre-point to the points I'm going to make. The first point is this: keep the right kind of friends. Noah didn't have the kind of friends that you have to go to. I mean, it was just him and his family. The rest of the world was wicked. The rest of the world, every imagination of their heart was evil continually. He was in it for 100 years, and he had nobody to go to except his wife and his sons and their wives. But we have friends. It's not quite that bad yet here. And so, guys, we have friends that we can go to. Adults, if we want to stay on fire for God, we must keep the right kind of friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amnon had a friend, the Word of God tells us. But Amnon had the wrong kind of friend, and he found himself at the wrong end of eternity. I tell you what, brethren, the Word of God tells us that we have got to keep the right kind of friends. Guys, you say you want this to last. You want the desires to last, and you want the fire to last. Then don't get around negative people. Don't get around people that are going to cut down your church, or going to talk down spiritual things, or going to talk bad about the preacher, or going to gossip in the youth group. We don't need that. Amen? I believe God wants to turn this youth department to, in a particular direction. There are some things we're going to implement, and God is going to make a difference here. I really believe that if we'll just make sure that we keep the right kind of friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen? But now biblically, let's look. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I want to show you. We looked at this morning, and I just want to hit on a couple of things here. By faith, the Bible says, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How do I stay in it for the long haul? Realizing that Noah had to stay in it for the long haul, 100 years. 100 years building that ark. And the Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. So don't think that he was up in a mountain somewhere excluded from the world. He was a preacher of righteousness. Preached righteousness to a lost and dying world that hated him, that condemned him, that mocked him, and that laughed at him the entire time. So how do I stay in it for the long haul? Look at that first portion of that verse. It says, being warned of God. Being warned of God. You know what I see here? He was in tune to the things of God. How could he be warned of God if he wasn't listening? If he wasn't listening. If we want to keep this, what we got this week at camp, guys, we've got to stay plugged in. We have got to stay plugged in to spiritual things. And the only way that we're going to stay plugged into spiritual things is to get unplugged from unspiritual things. Some of us need to go home this week and erase 9/10 of what's on our iPods. Say amen right there. Some of us need to go home this week and clean out our DVD closet. Say amen right there. Parents, don't you get mad at them when they go home and say, Dad, I can't watch this no more. Mom, I don't want to watch this no more. Mom, I don't think God would. And you know what the worst part of coming home from camp is? Really, the worst part is when kids get on fire for God and parents throw a wet blanket on it. You know, I can feel for the kids who came to camp who don't have parents in church. I can almost understand that. But I do not understand it when we got kids whose parents go to church and they won't let them live out the convictions God gave them in camp. Go home and clean house, guys. If you're going to stay plugged into God to hear from God, Noah, the Bible says that he was warned of God, but he couldn't be warned if he wasn't listening. And we can't listen if we're not plugged in. We got to be in tune spiritually to hear from God on a regular basis, on a daily basis. We must tune in, plug in to the things of God daily and unplug from unspiritual things. Throw away some of that CCM you got. I ain't saying it's all bad. Most of it is, but there's probably a few that's okay. But clean up, unplug. Unplug from the carnal things, the unspiritual things. Unplug and plug into God. Stay in tune to God. Let's look at one more thing here. Look at the second part of that. He says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Not seen as yet. Second thing is, he just believed God. He just exercised some faith. Hey, he was plugged in. He got in tune. He heard from God. God told him something he'd never heard before. God told him something he didn't understand. And he said, okay. He didn't understand it. The Bible says he'd never seen it before. Water from above? Really? Now, I want you to notice something. He did not scrutinize it or analyze it. He didn't wait to see if that portion of truth was consistent with his present lifestyle or if he was going to be inconvenienced by it before he chose to believe it and act upon it. God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Noah said, okay. He said, in fact, I'm going to destroy the earth in a way you've never seen before. I'm going to make water come down from heaven. And Noah didn't say, really, how are you going to make that happen? I've never seen that before. Wait a minute. No, he said, okay. He just believed. He didn't understand it. He didn't have to analyze it. He didn't have to make sense of it. He just believed God. Brother, if this thing is going to last, if we're going to be in this for the long haul, we've got to act in obedience when we hear from God, whether we understand it or not. Whether we agree with it or not, act on it in obedience. By faith. By faith. He said, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now look what else he said. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark, moved with fear. He moved with fear. Now look this word up. And this isn't actually the terror type of fear. This is more of the reverential type of fear. But I don't think I'm doing any injustice to the word by saying it scared him a little. And if we're going to stay in this for the long haul, here's something that you and I need to do. We need to be able to live with the end in mind. Live with the end in mind. Y'all heard him say up here almost every single one said, Brother Pittman, on Thursday night, preached on. That's something you don't forget. Especially when it was laid out like he laid it out. You don't forget that. You guys won't forget that. And we ought to live every day with that end in mind. That there are people who are going to die and go to hell. And that one day there is a judgment. One day there is going to be an accounting. One of these days we are going to have to give an account. One of these days this will all be over. If we're going to be in this for the long haul, I'm telling you, we've got to move with fear. Live with the end in mind. Look with me. Turn over, guys, to Psalm 73. Everybody over to Psalm 73. I think we looked at this verse in camp this week, but the Lord brought it to my mind tonight just to kind of hit on just a couple of verses real quick. Look what he said in 73, and I'm just going to run through here. Verse 3, you remember what the song, look what David said. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious. How many times? Look, me, I'm a Christian. God's called me a priest. But I'm telling you, there have been times in my Christian life when I said, is this worth it? Man, look at this. I mean, why am I living like this when they don't even fear God? And look how they're prospering. Man, sometimes I got to go from payday to payday and paycheck to paycheck, rob Peter to pay Paul. Why is it worth it? I'm telling you what, sometimes that foolish flesh rises up and says dumb stuff like that. Look what he said in verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look what he said in look at verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And then sometimes we get to feeling like this in verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. But look at verse 17, guys. Remember verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Live with the end in mind. Live with the end in mind. We want to keep this thing. We want to keep her going. Don't forget that there's a payday someday. Remember, he kept saying that over and over. There's a payday someday. There's a payday. And there's none of us that are guaranteed that it's 70 years down the road. He talked about a lady who had just had a heart attack, gave birth and had a heart attack at 20 years old and then had another heart attack as we were in service. Not in the service, but while... As we were in service, this lady on the other side of the country was having 20 years old. We're not guaranteed 70 years. And then, this is my chicken scratch. I'm surprised I can read it. Just wrote this down this afternoon. Finally, the main thing is this. He had a purpose that was bigger than himself. What kept Noah going for 100 years? He had a purpose that was much bigger than himself. I mean, look, God said, build an ark. And like preacher, I'm not going to try to describe it. Pastor did a great job on that this morning. It was a box, football field and a half long. And as far as we know, four laborers. Three, because he was out preaching too. Built it. That was a big job. But it consumed them. It consumed them. They had a purpose. And they lived for that. You know what, guys? God may not, probably won't, ask you to preserve the human race. But if your life is lived in such a way that you keep one person out of hell, then it's been a success. But if it does not result in that, then it's been a failure. Please tell me that your purpose, because we got to give them an example. Please tell me your purpose is not your job. Please tell me your job finances your purpose. Because the purpose has to be much bigger than us if we're going to stay in it for the long haul. If we're going to stay on fire for 50, 60, 70 years, if we're going to be living for God when Jesus comes or we die, whichever comes first, then we're going to have a purpose bigger than our job, bigger than our paycheck every week. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there because we know what it says. The last two verses of Ecclesiastes says, this is the whole duty of man, to fear God, keep His commandments. After Solomon went through his entire life and called it all vanity of vanities, he brought it all down to one statement, two steps. This is the whole duty. This is your purpose, the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. And we certainly know that He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, although it wouldn't be a bad thing. But the commandment, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything that's within us. Love God. Live for God. That's our purpose. That is our purpose. And everything else is secondary to that purpose. Let that job finance that purpose. And if we'll do this one thing, then we can easily be in tune to the things of God. If we do this one thing, we could easily believe God when He does speak. If we'll do this one thing, then we will live with the end in mind. If we do this one thing, we'll be in it for the long haul. We'll keep it for more than a week. Amen? Amen, preacher. Let's pray together.